ليلي لما صبح فضل بسخ
Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromaro.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
Welcome to prime time, bitch!
Good morning. Welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
A brunch so brutal that when you're over 30, you can't have buffalo wings after 6 o'clock at night unless you feel...
It's like a don't feed them after midnight.
Don't feed the old men after 6 o'clock at night, otherwise they'll have incredible problems sleeping.
But the silver lining is you may have a professional boxing breakdown. Jump and make the jump from wrestling into boxing.
I'll be breaking down boxing, of course, everyone's favorite sport behind, I believe, horse racing. Everybody loves it. America's pastime. It really should. I mean, honestly, Deontay Wilder's just like a fun guy. I wish he was on like Ellen or something, you know, like where like normal people would see him, you know, instead of like just being on like Rogan and
they'd be terrified.
Weirdos. No, he's like a fun guy. He just dressed like Super Shredder.
I'm just saying that crowd would be terrified.
I mean that crowd. But like he dressed like Super Shredder. He could dance or whatever, you know. Come on. I'm saying put Deontay Wilder on Ellen. Let all the wine moms meet him and love him.
So we'll get to that. We have that to look forward to. Yeah. You also have metal song, metal history.
You're damn right, I do.
We have a late-breaking black metal song of the week.
You're damn right we do.
Because we're covering the years 2016, 2017 this year in our gradual decade in review.
Camp 2016, what a great year. Graduated high school.
Oh, those are glory days. You know the deal here. The numbers are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 if you want to make a request, et cetera, et cetera.
Can't stress enough the damage that late night buffalo wings, and not even late night, like 9 o'clock, did to me and you. Like, you had like nightmare, like body horror style terrors.
You know, we're going to get it out because it is Brutal Brunch. We're going to kick things off. To continue that mood with our, we'd probably call it our pig squeal. This almost kicked off our pig squeal of the week.
Can we
segment
get pig
back
squeal,
of the day?
Pig squeal drop, please.
God, I totally forgot about that. Hold on, stand by.
Oh my god, that's my favorite.
You need
of
to
production.
Fill like 20 seconds.
Deontay Wilder is the best heavyweight in the last 30 years. He is 41-0 now with 40 knockouts, which is like outrageous, and he hasn't fought bad guys, you know what I'm saying? Like the record of his opponents in the last 5 fights is like 118-3 or something. So he's not fighting chumps. Like he's not like Mayweather at the end of his career was like padding stats, like fighting McGregor.
Him or the the Paul brothers.
Yeah. Fighting guys like
YouTube stars.
Prime.
Yeah.
Fighting Logan Paul. Logan Paul has challenged Mayweather in other boxing news.
No. So there you go. For Mayweather's
KSI
highly legitimate record. All right, here we go. Ready for this?
Yes.
On this bench there, all right?
Hell yes.
Squeal like a pig.
What are you doing, Zach?
Shut up!
Matt, you can sing along if you want.
I can't do it.
You gotta inhale.
Oh, I'm gonna throw up trying to do it.
Take a stand now. If you want to stay alive this holiday season, when you drink, plan not to drive. We'll tell you the reason. You could lose your license and end up doing time. Pay thousands of dollars too in lawyers' fees and fines.
This holiday season, if you plan to drink, plan how to get home safely. Designate a driver or call a cab.
Make a plan before you go when your head is clear. Don't wait till you've had eggnog, hot wassail, or beer.
Brought to you by the Texas Department of Transportation.
We'll be right back.
That, my friends.
It's a business.
There's some 2016 Fit for an Autopsy for you. That came out. That was part of a combo EP with the Acacia Strain. And now, who was the others on that? Thy Art is Murder, the Acacia Strain, and Fit for an Autopsy combined for an EP called The Depression Sessions. So, perfectly fitting for deathcore. And that was my...
And today's weather.
Exactly. And that was my intro. That was like my gateway into... The year of deathcore, because listen to some of the bands that came out with albums that year. In 2016, you had new stuff. Well, you had that EP with those three bands. You had new Lorna Shore, Chelsea Grin. I believe this was just after the controversy with those two bands, with all the big swing singers jumping. And then Brujeria. Actually, no, sorry. I blew that one. They're not deathcore. I'm going to get to them in
Thank
a second.
You.
Carnifex and Whitechapel all had albums out in 2016.
Wow.
Bring up Brujeria because they were new to me that year, and we were talking about the president.
Direct action. They say
what you will about Guar. Brujeria also murdered the president.
Guar and Brujeria, it's like that image.
But a different vibe. Yes.
It's Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers shaking hands, but it's Brujeria and Guar.
Yep. Brujeria, very, very controversial. 2016 is also a year of bands that... Just listen to those bands that were still making new music in the year of our Lord 2016. You had PJ Harvey, Regina Spektor, The Dandy Warhols, Block Party, Bayside, NoFX, AFI, although they only had the single that led up to a 2017 album. Mm-hmm. Band of Skulls, Wolf Mother, Taking Back Sunday.
Wolf Mother.
Blink 182, that was their big reunion. Face to Face, Korn, and Sick of It All.
Please
all released
the Mike
new music.
Patton talking about Wolf Mother clip and just imagine that's what I said.
I assume it's a negative?
Oh, yeah. He was getting Mike Patton was being interviewed for G4, which is insane, and he was at an outdoor concert for Wolf Mother, and they were interviewing him for his. He was doing the voice in the darkness, which he did an incredible job.
Right. Remember that whole.
And then he's just like, they're playing in the background, and he just like incredulously stares at the person asking questions. He's like, what is this? He just like can't. He can't go on with the rest of the interview. He's so upset about his distaste of Wolf Mother.
I have a couple good songs.
It's fine. It's fine.
All right. And now, because I know that your selection, I don't know what it is. Your selection is in 2016. We're going to do this now.
It is 2016.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
That's right. This Week in Metal History, things that I found that I believe are representative of This Week in Metal History and or stuff I just wanted to chat about. First, we got November 13th, 2015. Finnish metal band Swallow the Sun releases a triple album.
You covered your bases on this one.
Covered our bases. We're going to get all of it in one go here. So basically what was interesting was each disc was focused on a different style of the band. So first one is called Gloom, and it's Gloom. The second album is called Beauty, which is folksy, which made me concerned. And now anytime someone says I'm from like a Scandinavian style country and folk metal is involved, I'm like, gotta look you guys up now. Now I gotta do a little bit more research.
Because I can be quite coded.
Nothing turned up, yeah. And then the third album is Despair, which is Funeral Doom. This song is 10 Silver Bullets off the Gloom record of the three album, the triple album.
Speaking of Gloom, we have some, again, light breaking this week in metal history,
sure,
as in this past week in 2019.
People getting Grammy Awards, perhaps?
Perhaps. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that'll come up later in this list. November 13th, 1989. You know what we are, baby. We're in thrash metal. Terrorizer released the album World Downfall. Actually, the Wikipedia refers to this as grindcore. I want you to be the judge, because I would just call this thrash. Right?
Sounds like thrash.
It sounds like thrash. I guess like it's
maybe a little fast.
A little bit harsher vocals. A little kick in. Come on.
I mean, this right here is kind of grindy.
Yeah.
This is. I would not consider this thrash.
All right, you're the master. This is grindcore official. Terrorizer, I hope you're listening, because you are now officially categorized. You are a grindcore band. Released November 13th, 89. Before I was born, folks.
We wish after last night.
God damn that. Alright, November 14th, 2005. No! Oh, yes, finally. Bolt Thrower, everybody's favorite Warhammer 40K band, released the album Those Once Loyal, the eighth and final album by Bolt Thrower, released November 14th, 2005 through Metal Blade. The description is, like all Bolt Thrower albums, this is about war, in particular World War I. So this is entrenched off of Those Once Loyal by the good boys, Bolt Thrower. The cover is guys shooting a quarter mains cannon or a quarter cannon, like an 18-pound field gun or whatever the hell it was. Absolutely outrageous. World War I, not discussed enough. Although, wasn't there a new movie recently about World War I stuff? 1917? Did that come out? I feel like I heard movie Twitter apps chatting about it. It's a little bit over my head. All right. Folks, November 22nd, 1988, Swedish doom metal band Candlemass.
Yes.
Releases the album Ancient Dreams.
There is a movie, by the way, 1917 comes out on Christmas.
Okay, I would like to see that.
Sorry to derail you.
Candlemass slaps.
That's all I was going to say.
As we were saying earlier, Candlemass recently nominated for a Grammy for Best Metal Performance. The album is Door to Doom, and the song is Astralas, the Great Octopus, which is incredible. I would like to listen to it later. Tony Iommi plays guitar on that track. And important is lead singer is back. He had been gone for years, so meaning his name's like, I always forget. It's like Master something, Matron something. I had it written down and I've forgotten it. But the other nominations, do you want to know what the other nominations are for Metal Performance of the Year?
Sure. Messiah Marcolin?
Yeah, I can't pronounce the last name. Other nominations, Death Angel, Human Aside, I Prevail by Bow Down.
No, that's flipped around. I Prevail
Bow
is a band.
Bow Down by I Prevail? Oh, that's right, because the next one is Unleashed by, guess, Killswitch Engage.
Right. I remember they were nominated.
And then Tempest with a 7, so Sempest by Tool.
Sempest.
That is going to do it for Black Metal History. But do you have time for Black Metal Song of the Week?
Yes.
So, earlier, when I thought that the year we were doing was 2015... Black Metal Song of the Week was Luna off of Def Heaven's New Bermuda, the third studio album by everybody's favorite shoegaze black metal band.
Black Gaze.
Black Gaze. Released on October 2nd, 2015. But then when you informed me, in fact, no, the year is 2016.
Oh.
Then Black Metal Song of the Week is Zenigmar off of
This Will Sound
Rotting
Familiar.
Christ's Rituals. The 12th album by the greatest Greek black metal band of all time. February 12th, 2016. Zenigmar. Black Metal Song of the Week.
That was Power Trip with Executioner's Tax, Swing of the Axe. Before that, we had some local stuff because 2017 was like the year of the local bands. That was not the slang-wise, like literally from the Boston area. Seven Spires with Burn off the album Solvig, which was the time it was a full length, which was half of a previously released EP and then half new music, including that track, which was Burn. And as we found out, they are releasing...
put a new album for February 2020.
There you go.
Get
so
hype.
Stay tuned. And we kicked off that segment with Rotting Christ. Zane Ingmar was our black metal song of the week. And now...
black metal song of the forever.
Of the, that's it. That was the peak.
Just stop making it. Everybody stop.
It went from Mayhem to that song, and that was over.
Just stop. Everybody else stop. If you're not reading obscure religious texts and trying to do songs in Aramaic, then you just got to stop. You gotta do a different style of music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. All right, now long tease. Do you have some words from last night?
I mean, great event, good times. As we said before,
this is the Deontay Wilder versus
Ortiz.
Part two.
It could have been part three, but Ortiz messed up the first fight by testing positive for some sort of performance enhancing drug. 2018 was like a war. Ortiz had him in like the fifth or sixth round, not knocked down, but was like looking wobbly. Then Wilder came back, knocked him out. Kind of same with this fight, where like I feel like Ortiz dominated, kind of like was pushing the pace, was the more offensive fighter, was throwing more punches, was landing more punches, was like putting his game plan together, because like Wilder's game plan was kind of like absorb punishment, stand still, and just hit him with his like weird asteroid punch, like a video game character where he just like absolutely destroyed him. What was it, the eighth round, maybe
seventh or eighth round,
with just a straight right hand. Like, I don't know how he generates that kind of power. It's incredible. As he said earlier in the day, he is the Joe Frazier of our generation, and we should respect him.
Seventh round.
He came out with a diamond-encrusted Shredder outfit, which was incredible.
Shredder slash White Power Ranger.
No, yeah, the White Power. I don't know what it could be either, really, because he's like, we're like the same age, so we probably like, you know, probably the same pop culture things, you know, Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers. Ridiculous. So hopefully, who knows? Anthony Joshua has to do his job and beat Ruiz. Which he didn't do last time. And like, Ruiz is not a joke. Like, it's funny because like, haha, he's fat. But like, he's also like been boxing for a very, very long time and is like a really excellent fighter. And was like trying to say the other day, people who think like, oh, it was like a freak knockout. Like, no. Like, Ruiz like dominated every part of that fight against Joshua. So Joshua's got a lot to do to redeem himself and beat him so we can have this crazy matchup of Ruiz and that's my matchup, Ruiz Ruiz and Wilder, but so we'll see. I don't even know when that fight's scheduled. Probably over the winter in London or something ridiculous.
I know it's hold on.
But again, I gotta let's really bring it back though. Like, late night Buffalo Wings, no good. I have what can only be described as the world's worst heartburn. I had to sleep standing up last night, and then Matt had such bad food issues. I believe you said you had night terrors and were visited in the night by a demon.
That was sleep paralysis.
he was visited in the night by a demon just because he had a chicken wing too late. That's what happens when you get old, folks. You had a chicken wing past 6 o'clock at night. Get ready, because demon's gonna show up in your room. Keep you tied down. It's a nightmare. That's not fun. That's my new concept album. It's called Late Night Chicken Wings equal Demon, Night Demon.
That'd be one hell of a concept album. By the way, so Anthony Joshua fights Ruiz Jr. in 2 weeks on December 7th.
Perfect.
And then Wilder wants the winner for an undisputed fight, title fight. Before that, he also has to take down Tyson Fury.
He doesn't have to take down... First of all, now I have the...
Uh-oh, here we go.
Box.
The hot takes have come.
Tyson Fury, a very inspiring story. I don't want to take anything from Tyson Fury. Like, it's pretty good. Like, if you're someone going through like depression or substance abuse, like he's like an inspiring character. He also clearly got knocked out in the last fight he had with Wilder. He got up at the count of 15, as far as I'm concerned. Incredible that he got up at all, as we saw from last night. It's like Ortiz, we were saying, is like built like a tree trunk, and he just annihilated. So. It really says something about your guts if you even get up at 15 seconds, which is basically what he did. But Yeah, I don't see that as a fight. And like, isn't he kind of like retired? He's in like wrestling now. He was at like the Saudi Arabia show.
Yeah.
Mayweather's back also.
You're so happy.
No, all like Tyson Fury is like he's a fun character to have in boxing, and he's like tough as. So I guess you would want to see it because that's the money fight. Like people will pay money for it because you could show that clip of him getting knocked out in the last round and getting up like the Terminator like 150 times and sell that fight. But they're not at the same level. Like they're not, you right. know. So.
All right.
It is what it is.
That was our boxing. That's state of boxing. Boxing minute. Yeah, we'll do one maybe in 2020. We'll have our next one.
Yeah,
sometime.
I'll put on my like derby cap with a little press thing coming out of the top, and all of a sudden I become like real, like old timey. That's what happens.
So now we'll pivot to our other favorite topic on the show, but horror movies. We'll take a quick look back at horror movies in 2016, 2017.
Let's see it.
Matt, I know you're still working your way through like the early 2000s.
That's right. The problem with me, too, is I want to watch things again. Like, I watched Your Next again, because I'm like, oh, You're Next, so fun. And I watched it again, I'm like, still good, still like this movie. Still, that's fun.
Still thumbs up.
Yeah.
So in 2016 was an incredible year.
Bangers.
I have to say.
I can't see your list.
I know.
Too small.
So there were, like, some underappreciated hits, I would say, like The Boy, which is shockingly good.
The Boy?
Did you ever see that?
No, but I know the spoiler, the ending, which is very, very funny.
It was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
The spoiler is, like, can we spoil it? Because it's so dumb.
Sure.
So, like, The Boy would be like,
the boy is
ooh,
real.
It's going to be about a...
It wasn't just a haunted doll.
Yeah, it's going to be about a haunted doll. They're like, psych, there's a huge guy living in the walls.
It was so awesome. The Purge election year came out that year, of course, because it was an election year.
Sure.
A movie that you enjoyed in theaters and almost had to leave at one point was speaking of Year Next, the director of Year Next that year was going to direct a movie called The Woods or whatever.
Yeah.
And people went to go see it at whatever festival. And then like The Woods coalesced into Blair Witch. And yes. It was the long awaited Blair Witch sequel.
Everyone cried. I thought the movie was good. What was the popular take on it? It was like, I think it was
fine. It was kind of like the beloved. Popular take. It was like, yeah, people loved it because it was Wingard, but for the most part, like that was.
Yeah. Stuff happened that was like, cool. Oh,
the tunnel scene
where that girl was crawling under the house was the most since both. What are those movies called? Where the ladies go cave diving?
The Descent,
which is, as far as I'm concerned, the scariest movie ever made. When they're like having a fun adventure, like it's fun, and they're like squeezing through rocks. When she's like climbing under the house, I was like, I have to look at the floor or something. And then like finally, when the alien witch monster showed up, I'm like, thank God.
Well, that was the whole thing. You actually saw the witch for the first time.
I guess that was why everyone was all
kind of what you had to do with that, because you couldn't just make another Blair Witch project.
You certainly just can't remake the first movie, and you can't do Book of Shadows. Because Godsmack's not popular anymore.
Oh, God. Anti-Birth, which is an amazing independent movie. I recommend checking it out. All right, and then we had, I'll say the top five, or top six, top seven. We'll do top seven because the top seven is great. Hush.
Okay. Sure.
With the deaf author.
That's a good one.
Mike Flanagan, your boy. The Invitation at number six. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies came out in 2016.
You can put that on
tremendous.
There.
Road Games, nice French movie for you.
Okay.
10 Cloverfield Lane came out in 2016. Train to Busan. And
I love Train to Busan.
Green Room came out.
Oh, okay, Green Room.
It was like mastered. It was actually made available in 2016.
Okay.
It wasn't like on the festival circuit from 3 years prior.
Green Room and Deathgasm are the movies that I'm like, hey, you guys should watch. Like for people who aren't like big like horror nerds, I'm like, this movie's good. Just watch Green Room. And it is good. When they unzip that guy, fantastic. R.I.P. Anton Yelchin.
Mm-hmm.
Still sucks. Like, such a young guy. What was he, like,
that's
20,
such a
25?
Random fluky thing because it wasn't like drugs or anything like that.
No.
It was just like a car recall. That
a car. Yeah, his car. The emergency brake let go and just like squished him. Like, ugh. The end of that movie is hilarious when they're just like
the final line.
The
great final line. Great way to end.
Who cares?
In 2017, Happy Death Day came out. Death Note, which I thought was criminally underrated.
Okay, I'm assuming you didn't see the Death Note anime. I did, and I still like the Death Note movie. I thought the movie's hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Willem Dafoe as the demon is incredible. The ending, the weird, like, Rube Goldberg ending right. of like reading the note and then like falling off the Ferris wheel, and then and that's also Boots Riley was the detective. I'll come back to me. Well, he's in the, I can't think of the detective's name, but he was in like, you know, Sorry to Bother You and then Get Out and stuff.
Oh, right. Yep.
Yep.
And Split was M.I. Shyamalan continued his brief good run before Glass came out this year. Cult of Chucky.
Is Split good, though?
Split was good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With your girl from the Vivitch.
I do like the Vivitch. Cult of Chucky slaps. That movie kicks ass.
It does.
Is it, what's the one before that? Curse of Chucky?
Yes, because it was Bride, Seed, Curse, I think.
Okay.
And Curse was the one that like made it serious again.
Yes. Curse, yeah, Curse was just in the house with Fred Dourif's daughter, who's in Cult of Chucky.
Which also brings back Poker Lady from Bride of Chucky. Why am I blanking on her name?
I want to say Gina Gershon.
I was going to say, no,
right, because it's the other one from Bad.
The other one from Bad. Oh, wow. This is bad.
God, guys. Getting old.
Tilly. Yes,
Jennifer Tilly.
Thank you. Now, a professional poker player and married or dating the Unabomber?
Yeah. Dating the Unabomber?
The poker player Unabomber. He's dubbed the Unabomber because of his look. He has like the hoodie and glasses. Not Ted Kaczynski.
Okay.
All right.
Have you seen Seed of Chucky recently?
No.
It's bad.
Is that the one that they have the kid and he has like a British accent?
Uh-huh.
Gerald's Game. I thought it was tremendous.
Sure.
Raw. Another French movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
Very good. Annabelle Creation, which is hands down the great, like without question, the best movie of that
of those
universe.
30 movies. How many are those things. Conjuring movies are there?
Too many, but all the Fringe ones are the good ones. The Conjurings are so meh, and the other Annabelles are decent. But Annabelle Creation and The Nun, I think, are the two most enjoyable. The Nun's not great, but it's fun. And then you had Devil's Candy.
Excellent.
Was my third, number three.
Great
movie.
It
was a tremendous movie. It Chapter 1 is tremendous. It Chapter 2 could not be more average.
I've heard It Chapter 2 is very bad.
I don't think it's bad. It's just quite average. And it's like such a waste of a talent, like an A-list cast.
Yeah. Well, you got all the comedians in there too, and I don't know.
And then number one movie, which you briefly mentioned, Get Out.
Get Out is fantastic. Get Out, one of those, like the start of that kind of era of like, yeah, it's a horror movie, but like, you know, smart people can watch it or whatever it was. And then wasn't Jordan Peele like, no, it's just a horror movie. Like,
yep.
It's not different than a horror movie. It's a horror movie.
All right. So that thankfully to some people wraps things up for this week.
It does wrap it up.
And we will be back not
thankfully
in 2 weeks.
Some people who have to go sleep.
We will not be back in 2 weeks on the 7th. We will be back on the 22nd,
right.
So 4 weeks, just in time for Christmas, and we'll
right.
wrap up our little look back of the decade.
Merry Christmas.
And also stay tuned. Maybe we'll have another special, because we've had a couple countdowns last
couple
years.
Countdown special.
So we'll see what happens. So you've been listening to Brewer Brunch here on WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Yes, enjoy your weekends. Enjoy your Thanksgiving,
Happy
I suppose.
Thanksgiving.
I should have pulled up the Misery Index Thanksgiving song.
Thanksgiving.
We won't do that. But instead, we will end with a song that I was singing last night in my head.
Yes.
As I couldn't sleep.
Well, that's why you had night terror. That's why you had sleep paralysis.
From Creator. We don't need to tell you the name of the song because we'll become
you
right
know
clear.
The name of the song.
Goodbye.